What is the purpose of an artist residency? This is the topic of today's conversation with Lena Evstafieva of Villa Lena, the founder of an art foundation and agriturismo site located in the Tuscan countryside. Lena is a contemporary art collector and former director of Pace Gallery London and former curator of Garage Museum in Moscow. Lena shares how growing up in the Soviet Union was formative in her interest and dialogue in art and culture, and how this has led her to a creative path. She also shares the development and evolution of Villa Lena, from creating an artist residency into expanding into an agriturismo hotel, where both artists and guests are invited to engage with nature and the community within the remote surroundings. We also dive into the appreciation of slowness, from the creative benefits of working remote, and why community and artistic production is more essential than ever in post-pandemic times. Here's Lena on the line.
Well, I grew up in a country that doesn't exist anymore. I was born in the Soviet Union, which was a very different setup to what would be a normal childhood in the Western world. Traveling, for example, wasn't really an option until 1991, because nobody was really allowed out of the country that much. Following that, then I ended up going to a boarding school in the UK, out of all places, where I stayed for quite a while. I've stayed in the UK for about 20 years, and, you know, following my boarding school, I went to university, and then I lived in London. And when I was in London, I pursued a career in contemporary art.
That's really fascinating. I mean, I had no idea that you were from the Soviet Union, and does that shape a lot of the dialogue between the works that you curate?
It's definitely a huge impact, particularly because you know, I've experienced so many different ways of living. Things like fizzy drinks were an exotic thing, or plastic bags, which, you know, now the bane of everybody's existence, were considered a huge luxury because nobody had plastic bags. And I remember very vividly that, the Soviet Union started to crumble, the chicest thing was to have a plastic bag with the Marlboro advert on it, with those cowboys riding into the sunset and in huge letters Marlboro on it. And it was literally the equivalent of having a Chanel bag.
Wow, that's really, really fascinating. And going from that sort of culture and then to London, what was that difference like?
Yes, well, I went to a boarding school, so that was a whole other experience, you know, an English boarding school where everything was very, very different. And it was like I landed on the moon, really. it was a great experience. And then I went to London and I worked in, in contemporary art. And now, after that, I now live in Italy. So I would have to say that my background taught me how to adapt really quickly, but also how to be incredibly open-minded and to try to understand people from different walks of life. And I think that's essentially was at the core of establishing Villa Lena, because apart from it being, you know, an agriturismo, a hotel, and an artist residency, it was meant to be a space that is going to be incredibly democratic, incredibly welcoming, incredibly at ease with everybody who comes there. And I think that is the core value of the hospitality approach I tried to establish there.
And so I want to learn a little bit more about your professional background. So when did your interest in art begin to develop? How did you fall into this industry?
So in fact, my passion is history. So I studied history at university, and then I became particularly interested in art and history of art. I think that the history of art is a unique combination of a record of events, of philosophy, of aesthetics, and the history of rich and powerful who quite often shape, you know, these events and philosophy. And that's how I started getting interested in history of art. And then I was interested in dealing with art of today, of contemporary art, because it has this immediacy, it has this fast pace, it has so many different ideas that are relevant to today. And that's how I got into the contemporary art, you know, just by being in London, in one of the biggest capitals of contemporary art in the world, it was very easy to get into that direction. And what was also helpful is that I spoke Russian. And at that stage, my first big job was working for Garage Contemporary. The space was actually in Moscow, but the office was in London. The head of the program, being Molly Dan Brocklehurst, was then looking for an assistant who spoke Russian. And I was literally one of the few people who they found at that stage.
Wow, that's incredibly great timing. And how did you become a curator?
Well, I was, I was never a curator as such. I was more of a managerial role in contemporary art. So I worked at the Garage Center for Contemporary Art for a few years, and then I moved to work at Pace Gallery, which was opening its offices in London. And I worked there for a few years, working with artists and exhibitions and clients. And at that stage, my family had the estate in Tuscany, and they were not really doing anything with it. And it was a major headache for them, because my family being based in Moscow, and that place in Tuscany was being neglected. I thought maybe it would be a good idea to get involved a little bit, and then it just took over my life, and now I live in Florence.
And so can you tell me a little bit of background about the villa and sort of everything that culminated into the development of Villa Lena?
Of course. So the villa is actually an estate of 500 hectares. 500 hectares would be four times Hyde Park in London.
Wow.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful natural wilderness estate covered in forests on pretty high altitude. So you have fantastic views of the Tuscany. And it consists of different buildings, the main building being the 19th century villa, which is sort of orange and terracotta color. It was always an estate that belonged to different families from different nationalities over the course of centuries. My family purchased it about, I would say, 20 years ago. I would say it was an impulse buy, because they just fell in love with the place. They didn't have an idea of what to do with it. And it's quite complicated to run a business in Italy when you're not in Italy. And for quite a few years, the estate was neglected. It was in disrepair. Nothing was really happening. And when we started, my husband and I started to get involved with it. The only thing at that stage we knew how to do well was bring creativity to the place. So that's why the residency was established. My background was in contemporary art, so I knew how to attract different artists. My husband's background was in music, so he knew how to attract musicians. So the residency was the only thing that we were 100% sure about that we can do well. The hospitality side of things and the agriculture side of things, we knew zero. So it was a very steep learning curve. Hospitality is an industry for a reason. You know, you need to know how to do it well. You need to have the right people, the right team in place. Continuity is so important in hospitality. So you make sure that the standards are the same year after year after year. So for us, coming from zero hospitality background, it was a real challenge to turn around the existing setup into a hotel that we thought was reaching the potential it is meant to reach, because the place is just so beautiful and the buildings also very beautiful. Each building comes from a different century. So each year when we close, because we're a seasonal hotel, we would renovate a building to bring it up to the standards. Each time we would renovate it, we would work with different designers and architects. The site itself has a sort of homogeneity around it. Each building also has a unique style and design features.
Having both a residency and a hospitality facility, it just seems like such a huge undertaking. Are all of the facilities that are on site for the residences, how did they interact with the hotel guests?
The core thing for Villa Lena is that everybody gets to interact with each other. We try to create different points of interaction between the guests and the artists, and to make sure that this element of culture is prevalent through the whole experience. You know, it starts with holding open studios for the guests to attend, and to more sort of social and fun things like Artist Aperitivo, which happens in front of the villa once a week, where guests are invited for a glass of rosé, and they get to meet the artists in the more informal settings, and we usually play some live music. And then one of the special things is our experiences and workshop program. So we have quite an eventful program on site. They're always different because they depend on who are the artists in residency. So 1 month we could have a series of ceramic workshops running. Another month we can have a workshop of dynamic drawing, which is a combination of drawing with your body and yoga exercises. Natural dye workshops or plant pounding workshops, where you get to do your own napkins by pounding flowers that you collect on site onto the napkins and imprinting, you know, the shapes and colors that way.
How do you design these programs? Which, by the way, I've participated in all of the above. I participated in a clay workshop, an agriturismo foraging day. So I really love that there is this sense of like holistic experience with both nature and art when you visit the villa.
We always think of what workshops are going to be inspiring and accessible at the same time to people of all ages and from all sorts of backgrounds. Essentially, whenever we interview creative collaborators for the workshops or the residents for the residency program, the most important question that they need to answer us is, how would you explain what you do to a five-year-old? So in terms of creating these workshops, this is the baseline. It has to be accessible both to children and adults, and it has to be accessible to people from, you know, all sorts of different nationalities. And in fact, when artists are truly passionate about what they do, they're very inventive and very generous with describing and explaining and involving everybody who's participating in their workshop into trying to give them the best understanding and the best understanding of the process that they use for their creativity. So in terms of how we select, how we create these programs, is the starting point is to make sure that the workshops are accessible and inspiring to everyone.
How involved are you in the creative process of your artists and residents? How do you typically work with each individual artist?
That's a really interesting question because, in fact, we don't work with them that much. Essentially, when they come to the residency with us, before they arrive, we do ask them what sort of things they want to achieve at residency and what kind of project they want to work on. And they put down on paper their ideas and their plan. And when they come to the residency, more often than not, they scrap their plans and they do something else entirely. What we do studio visits once a week or once every 2 weeks. But we are very conscious of the fact that this is a space for them to step away from their usual routines and to really experiment and to push the envelope as much as they can in terms of stepping away from their practices. And very often at the end of the residency, when we do the studio visits, the artists tell us, you know, we started doing what we were doing, and then within a day or two, we gave up and started doing something radically different.
What do you look for in your applicants for the residency?
It's a few things. Well, first of all, we really look whether they can really benefit from this residency, because every residency is different. Every residency offers something, something else. And we are very aware that we offer certain things, but quite often when the residents come to us, they realize how much they depend on having their studio equipment and their, you know, usual suppliers, how much they rely on, you know, having the materials they are used to working with. It is important for us to know that the people who come to do residency can adapt to a very different set of circumstances.
I think that is one of the most compelling parts of Villa Lena as well, is its remoteness.
Yeah.
It allows both guests and artists to return to nature.
Yes, exactly. And quite often the nature inspires the artists in very different directions. Quite often they, you know, they find things that I would not be even aware that of, you know, that we have them. For example, we have fossilized shells all over the estate because, you know, many thousands of years ago, the whole place was covered in seawater. And so it was artists who first found those seashells and said, look, it's like it's covered in seashells. And that's how we know we have these incredible fossils all over the estate.
As you live between Florence and Tuscany, how would you say isolation feeds into creativity?
I would put it a little bit differently, because at Villa Lena, yes, you're isolated, but you are with a group of like-minded people. So you have very valuable social interaction. But I don't think it's isolation. It's a change of scenery. It's a change of scenery and a change of pace. I think it's always very important to experience that, and particularly change of pace, where nothing is instantly available, nothing is immediate. So you've got to wait, and you've got to savor the time that you wait for things.
And I think that's really interesting, because I visited your villa right before the pandemic, mm-hmm. during, you know, literally in 2019. And
yeah.
What's super interesting is all of the things that I have been looking for is sort of what the pandemic forced us to do, which is to slow down, surrender to sort of, you know, the slowdown, and also seek out nature and remoteness.
Yes.
Is this something that you find now that things are slowly reopening, people are still craving for?
I think so. I think people crave for nature. I think people who've been locked down in the cities, they crave for nature and space, that's for sure. You know, also away from the, you know, the urban centers, which were so attractive to people before, when they were lively and the restaurants and museums and theaters were open. They kind of lost a bit of their luster now, when everything was forced to be shut. I think people crave space very much, but they, you know, I think people more than anything crave right now is social interaction and social connections. And mm-hmm. I think that's what we had in mind also when we were designing Villa Lena, is creating those social connections and social interactions through this combination of hospitality and art residency, where you can meet each other at different points through the day, whether it's at a creative workshop or at an artist aperitivo or at, you know, foraging and cook workshop, where you go into the garden and pick a few things and then cook and eat and share that meal with people who are strangers, but, you know, that you're sharing that experience with them. And at the end, you get to know each other a little.
And I remember that one of the nights we attended a live performance, and that was also such a wonderful way to experience the community of Villa Lena, in both seeing the artists in residence and the guests commingling together.
I think so, because also I am eternally grateful to all the artists who come through the residency, because whatever they're doing, it's magical. You know, they are devoting their life to being creative. And at Villa Lena, we get to experience, you know, their devotion to creativity, and they share their creativity with everybody around them. And whether it's performance, a musical performance, or a workshop, it creates this very unique social context for interaction, where not only you get to meet people, but you're experiencing something quite magical, I think.
And I wanted to go back and revisit sort of the agriturismo part of the villa.
Mm-hmm.
How did you develop this part?
Agriculture was a very, very tricky thing to learn because that has a lot of variables. We make olive oil, we make wine, but we also have this vegetable garden that feeds the restaurant. And with every single aspect of this, you've got to make sure that whatever you're growing is on the right piece of land,
mm-hmm.
with the right terrain, with the right exposure to the sun. And then you have the weather variables, which are different from year to year. One year you have the rain in April at the wrong time. Another year you have a heat wave in June at the wrong time. And that's going to affect different plants differently. So, for example, we grow three kinds of radishes, one white, one red, and one sort of funky black one. And the white radishes are delicious. They're the best. And the red ones, they're not so great. So they're growing in the same soil, in the same sun exposure,
mm-hmm.
and somehow one type of plant is going to be radically different to another type of plant. So agriculture, the agriturismo bit, was really trial and error. So we try something, and if it doesn't work, we have to change it for the next year. And it is really a labor of love because it takes so much time to get it right.
I remember when we were visiting some of your olive orchards too, that the farmer on site was telling us that it's actually like a very sensitive plant where if one gets sick, almost immediately, like the harvest can go completely wrong.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. There was even a study that came out that shows that trees communicate with each other through their root system. So yes, if one tree would get sick, it's quite often
they'll warn the other trees in the network.
Yeah.
Do you find any links between art and agriturismo?
The main link that we have is our chef in residency program, where the restaurant, the way it works, we have the head chef, and then together with him, we put chef in residency program. And it typically consists of people who apply to us and,
mm-hmm.
you know, people from his network. And we're always looking for people who know how to deal with the seasonality, who are interested in cooking only with ingredients that are available at that any specific time, and who are passionate about, you know, making something very tasty out of simple and honest ingredients. We are mainly focused on delivering a Tuscan farm-to-table experience, but our head chef, Marco, his background, although he's an Italian chef and he's a Tuscan chef above all, his background actually comes from a few Asian restaurants, also including Nobu. So sometimes he infuses the Tuscan dishes with a bit of Asian spice that makes it very interesting. We try to grow quite a lot of herbs that are not typically Tuscan, like coriander, for example. Try to use herbs to accentuate the flavors in the dishes.
And I wanted to pivot a little bit on the topic and ask about sort of everything that was happening culturally last year. A lot of movements have happened in 2020. How does contemporary culture bleed into the conversation of what you do at Villa Elena?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So you're right, a lot of movements have happened in the past year, and this past year was a year of, you know, massive upheaval in terms of the way how we look at things around us. And one of the things that we have been doing at Villa Elena is trying to reach out to creative groups in order to make sure that the Villa Elena residency is accessible to people who otherwise might not think of us. So one of the collaborations that we've done, and this was sort of started a little bit before the Black Lives Matter, is the collaboration called MQB, MBQ, which stands for My Queer Blackness, My Black Queerness, which is a program that supports, particularly in Italy, people of color and
LGBTQ
community. For this year, we're actually hosting two artists from this program at Villa Elena for the residency. That's sort of one of the collaborations that we've done. another collaboration that we're doing based with another LGBTQ community in London. So we started making active steps to reach out to different communities to make sure that, you know, they're aware that this residency exists and opportunities for them to apply.
And one thing I love about the villa is also that there are so many different types of artwork.
Yeah.
All through the property. And is this something that, like, visiting guests, maybe day trippers, can experience and visit? How do you sort of arrange the display of all of the different artworks? Is it thematically organized or?
It's not thematically organized. We just, we hang the artwork throughout the estate. It's part of the environment. It's not exhibited as a specific thing, but we're always at hand to answer questions of what this or that artwork is. And one of our plans is to really try to do a small sculpture park in one of the sites of Villa Lena, where people who are not necessarily staying at Villa Lena can come and visit.
Who are some notable artists, writers, photographers, or filmmakers that have stayed at the villa?
One notable person is a photographer, Zoe Gertner. She photographs for all major fashion magazines, but she photographs women as naturally as possible.
I'm a big fan of her photography, especially...
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, especially all of the recent photographs she's been doing. I think right now she's going through like a nature phase that she's been posting on Instagram. I absolutely adore her work.
Yes, it's very, very beautiful. It's very beautiful. Another notable ex-resident is the jewelry designer Sophie Buhai. She came at Villa Lena at the very beginning, and at that time she was stepping away from her fashion label Venakava, and she was exploring what to do next. And at Villa Lena she started thinking about her jewelry line. And since then, the jewelry line, I believe, is very successful.
Yeah, again, also a big fan. I'm presently wearing her silk scrunchie, and that's really fascinating. I think that just only goes to show how incredibly powerful and disruptive a residency can be, or just a trip can be, that it can really be this catalyzer for change in the way you approach things.
Fantastic. I'm so glad you know these names. And the final names I'm going to give is a filmmaker, Terence Nance, who came into the residency about 3-4 years ago. And then, he became quite well known for his TV show called Random Acts of Flyness.
And what have been some of your favorite projects you've worked on?
You know, we are really proud of our creative experiences program, and this year we really wanted to take it to a different level, and we've created creative retreats, which is a curated itinerary of 5 days where we pull together all of what we know to do best is to create creative experience for our guests. And it starts with your arrival, and then you embark on a series of workshops where you get inspired, you learn how to do something, you are in a group of like-minded people, you spend that time with these people, you have fantastic food and beverage experiences that are specifically designed for you, then followed by, another creative experience that is tailored for that retreat. And the first one we've done was a themed botanical, so it was ranging from creating, napkins with flowers, to a flower workshop, to making botanical cocktails. It was anything botanical that we could think of. We packed into this itinerary of 5 days with the creative people that were in the residence at the time and the people that we worked with before, in the area. And I think I'm actually very, very proud to have created this experience for the first time, which, my team and the artist in residency and the collaborators delivered so beautifully, so seamlessly. It was really magical.
And that must be so magical when everything just has like a really great flow and synergy.
Yes, exactly. And I think that at this stage, after doing this for 6 years, I think what we do best is bringing people together through creative experiences.
I love that. I love that so much. And do you have any upcoming events or experiences opening for the public soon?
So one of the things that we started doing is called Dinner Under the Stars, which is we set up a long table in front of our orange 19th century villa. And we work with contributing chefs, chef in residency, on the menu to create beautiful seasonal spread. And we call them Dinner Under the Stars, which are open to guests of the hotel, but also ticketed to the public. And we've done a few last year, and they were really beautiful. And each time, one of those dinners has a charitable component, with the 10% of the proceeds from that dinner goes to charities that we've selected to support.
Wow, I love that. And, you know, one thing I find really interesting is that artist residencies are really fascinating in the sense that the focus of its work is cultural production. And how does this play into working with your community at large?
So I think that cultural production is so important, and the pandemic and the lockdowns have really showed us how important it is when we're suddenly deprived of having culture around us. When the theatres were closed, when the galleries were closed, we suddenly realized how much culture is a valuable component of our lives. So the cultural production that is happening at the residency, I think it's so important because it not only feeds the program that is happening on site at Villa Lena, it has a much more long-lasting effect, where this is the moment when these artists who come to Villa Lena get to reevaluate their practices and meet other creatives. And then when they leave, whatever they've learned, whatever they've worked on, whoever they met, that stays with them for a very long time, quite often for the rest of their time. And that has an impact on their cultural production for many, many years to come. I think that culture is essential to our humanity, and we were deprived of it. We realized that actually a lot of us can't live without it.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I remember when people were just even arguing about museums and should they be able to open up. A lot of people said, yes, absolutely, because this is essential. It is vital for just even like our imagination and for our fodder and inspiration to live.
Of course, of course. And I remember before the pandemic, you know, there was always these conversations. Do museums matter? How much culture is necessary? And I think the lockdowns really showed us that they really, really do. They do matter.
So has the lockdown shaped or shifted any ways that you pursue doing things at the residency?
I think it definitely gave us more purpose. I think when, you know, me and my team who works at the foundation are more determined that, you know, what we do is very, very important. And obviously the pandemic really did shift how we do it, and it's still very complicated to run a residency when it's so much of it relies on people coming together from different countries, when, you know, there's so many restrictions and travel is complicated and there's always this uncertainty and anxiety about COVID. These logistical problems are problems that are solvable, but I think it definitely reinforced the fact that having this residency at Villa Lena is important.
And I'm curious, as someone who runs a residency and hospitality brand, what do you do to decompress, and what do you do when you need to refill your cup?
Well, it's quite easy to do in Italy. It's
I mean, this is exactly why I bought a one-way ticket to Italy, because after a year in lockdown, I think the thing that's so beautiful about Italy, it really is a country that's dedicated to beauty, and that is its essence.
Yes.
And it's so evident in the food, the architecture, the way of life.
Yes, yes. It's an incredible country, and it has everything that one would want and need, from culture to food to the sea to the beach to the lakes to the forests. I think it's heaven on earth.
I agree. Are there any places in particular that you like to go to when you need to decompress? decompress or take some time off work?
Well, I feel like as an honorary Italian, I would always go to the beach, to the sea. So, and it's quite easy. It's an hour to drive from Florence, and you have rocky beach, you have sandy beach, you have wild beaches, you have serviced beaches. So take your pick.
And what was your first impression when you came to Tuscany for the first time?
Well, I think, everybody's first impression to Tuscany is awe, having their breath taken away, because it's just so beautiful. And then the people here are so nice. They're so friendly and welcoming and genuine. I really enjoy that a lot.
And for parting notes, I am curious to learn, what are some of your travel plans on the horizon this year?
So, in fact, one of my plans is to go back home to Moscow, but it's a bit complicated right now. And apart from that, I just want to take advantage of the summer in Italy, and also in Italy that is not yet filled with tourists. So maybe go to Rome when it's not too busy, or go to Venice when it's still not busy, and just, you know, travel a little bit around Italy and go to the islands, maybe Elba or Giglio or Ischia, because they're just so beautiful.
Yes, I mean, Italy is really the best country to... I wouldn't use the word stuck, because stuck has a negative connotation.
Okay.
But it's that's a brilliant plan, and I'm with you there.
Yes, Italy has endless treasures to discover.
Well, Elena, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story and all of these answers.
No, my pleasure.
I'm looking forward to visiting Villa Elena soon, and I hope you'll be hosting... You mentioned that you'll be hosting one of your dinners?
Yes, 17th of July.
Oh, 17th of July. Okay, well, I'll still be in Italy, so... Oh,
fantastic.
Perhaps I'll stop by then.
Yeah. Please do. It will be great. So you can get to see what I've just described.
A huge thank you to Lena for chatting with us today on the Art of Travel podcast. For those who are interested in learning more about Villa Elena's Art Foundation, you can find Villa Elena on Instagram or at villaelena.com. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Tune in every Tuesday for a new episode on the Art of Travel podcast. Subscribe to the Art of Travel podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you may stream your favorite podcasts. The Art of Travel is created by Olivia Lopez, produced by Bon Weekender, edited by Jason Stewart, and music composed by Slow Shiver. We'll see you on Tuesday.